I've seen this movie before, that one ends in tears. I can tell you exactly what happens.
It's early days.
They don't get it, and they don't seem to care.
You're born here, you think you're 100% Australian.
A government that is bitterly divided.
We've got to raise the standards of journalism a little bit here.
Hi there, I'm Patricia Carvelis from RN Drive.
And I'm Fran Kelly from RN Breakfast. Welcome to the Party Room podcast. And boy, oh boy, PK, is there a lot to talk about today?
Just
every
a bit.
Day it would seem.
This is actually quite extraordinary, even by any measure, even by previous statements by us that there's a lot to talk about. We are talking, you know, it's like a new name every day that's being dragged into this dual citizenship crisis. Andrew Probyn is going to share some of his expertise, his information, his intel later in the episode. He's the politics editor here at the ABC. But before we get to that, I suppose this all kind of re-emerged since the last podcast. Josh Frydenberg became an issue, Fran, and then John Alexander. Here he is.
You're born here, you represent your country, you think you're 100% Australian. My father thought he was 100% Australian.
Oh, look, we're all 100% Australian, but that doesn't mean that,
exactly.
You know, we fit into the constitutional rules, right?
Exactly. You think you're 100% Australia, but you got to check that you're not a dual citizen because that's what the law says. And you should know that because there's been a whole string of people in the last 3 months ahead of you that should have made you think about that. I mean, this was unbelievable. John Alexander, the member for Bennelong, it seemed like minutes, but I think it was probably an hour or two after the Prime Minister stood up and said, you know, announced his whole plan. And all it did was make the Prime Minister look like a turkey and completely demolished all the sort of the oomph the PM was trying to get from his positive plan.
Yeah, I think it's important to remind people of the context. So on Sunday, all of the ministers were very much on the front foot saying no to an audit, no yep. to doing anything about this. Quite hard line. It's a witch hunt. That was the language they were using. They were still refusing to go there. And then at the start of the week, the government finally buckles because the pressure is just too immense. I mean, the cases are just coming in thick and fast. And it's basically unsustainable, the position of just doing nothing. So then the Prime Minister announces that the government's plan to give MPs 21 days to provide proof they're eligible to sit in the parliament. Now, this meeting has happened now between Bill Shorten and the Prime Minister. They haven't come to an agreement. Labor is insisting that everyone should reveal by December the 1st. And even some of the Labor MPs that are under a kind of cloud, question marks, Justine Key and Susan Lamb would declare by December the 1st. That's their proposal. It's kind of stuck now. My view is it depends when you all listen to this podcast, but it might be resolved, you know, in the next couple of days. I think it's in their both of their interests that it is resolved. But right now, Labor is really extracting the politics here, aren't they, Fran? I mean, the government is on the run. They're loving it. They are loving it. And they don't want to make it too easy for the Prime Minister to get a deal in terms of how this declaration process will happen.
And the government is on the run. You could be forgiven for thinking the government is on the ropes. In fact, Greens leader Richard Di Natale is already predicting that Malcolm Turnbull will be gone by Christmas and we'll have a change of government. Now, whether it gets to that, there's no doubt Labor has run rings around Malcolm Turnbull again on the politics. And this is the problem. I personally thought the PM's plan was a fine plan. I have no problem with him wanting something less than an audit and the plan that every person has to register, lodge their register of members' interests, you know, the details of their parents, where they were born, where these people were born, what they've some paperwork to check if they did have dual citizenship that they've renounced it, lodge that there so it can all be looked at and have an orderly process forward of the parliament saying, yes, okay, well, you've now got 21 days. That seemed fine to me. It seemed orderly. I thought we were getting back in some kind of step here and away from the hysteria. But then we got the John Alexander thing, which mucked all that up. And then Penny Wong came out really and hit Malcolm Turnbull for six, talking about him running a protection racket, trying to delay this with the 21-day timeline, delay it till after Christmas so that he can get through the next 2 weeks without Barnaby Joyce's number sitting in the parliament. And I just think that stuck. And so, you know, the PM again sat down with Bill Shorten, trying desperately to get some agreement so the parliament looks like it's in control of the situation, but Bill Shorten not quite ready to let him off the hook yet. So the PM will back down on timing, I'm pretty sure about that, and probably Labor's timeline of December the 1st is a fair one, because after all, why give them 21 days from when it's debated in the parliament? Why not 21 days or 28 days from this week?
Yeah, I think Labor has a potent argument against the Prime Minister in terms of this long time frame that he'd established, 21 days, because I think in the kind of court of public opinion or the pub test and all these cliches I could use, we all know about this. Like, all of these MPs have been on notice that citizenship is an issue. I mean, for crying out loud, the Deputy Prime Minister is in a by-election at the moment over this issue. This is a well-known problem. Would you not? I mean, if I was, you know, sitting in the seat of whatever, I'd be definitely getting my paperwork all sorted out in case this becomes an issue and I have to make it clear. The idea that they need all this extra time is a load of baloney.
Exactly. That's why the circumstances around the President of the Senate, Stephen Parry, and then John Alexander, of them like going, oh, my dad was born, you know, I better check that out. It just seems beyond belief.
And they're all going to have the paperwork. I mean, that is for certain. Doesn't matter how many days it takes or whatever.
And for some it is harder. I mean, clearly Josh Frydenberg is having a real trouble getting a conclusive, definitive definition of whether he is a dual citizen through his mother of Hungary, because she came here as stateless and the paperwork says that. But with the British and Scottish, you know, heritage, it is easy. It is straightforward. Get on and do it.
Get on and do it. That's right. But the other part of this is just the politics. And I think the Prime Minister, you know, certainly it's not his fault that this parliament is falling apart at the seams. This could have happened to any Prime Minister at any time. But the problem is that he's been last to show that he's willing to take action. And that is a political miscalculation. The fact that now he's been willing to say it and not earlier makes it look like he's not a leader, but that he's a follower. And you just don't want that impression when you're already struggling to show authority and to show to show that you've got kind of control over your party room.
Clearly he's under pressure behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. And, you know, the pressure is coming from all quarters. I mean, earlier in the week I spoke with Senator Corey Bernardi, used to be in the Liberal Party. Now he runs the Australian Conservatives. And he's calling for the whole parliament to be prorogued, to be suspended now while the citizenship drama plays out.
You know, the day-to-day affairs of government would continue as normal, but it just means we wouldn't have these debates and votes in the parliament. I think it would help restore some faith in the body politic.
I think that plan looks extreme and would look like things are out of control, and I don't think there will be a proroguing of the parliament. But, you know, this may very well end up with a string of by-elections. Who knows? There could be 10 of them. Are we going to end up with a Super Saturday or, you know, even a general election?
We've also been keeping a close eye on the situation still unfolding on Manus Island. 600 men are refusing to leave the Manus Island detention centre, you know, despite the fact that water, food and power has been now shut off. They say they're too afraid to resettle in the alternate accommodation. Over the weekend, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern reiterated her offer to take 150 refugees from Manus Island and Nauru. The PM rejected that, but he only said for now, Fran. Since that, Peter Dutton's been much more hardline. He's the immigration minister. His line has been, you know, that it's a backdoor way of getting to Australia, essentially. Still, this is just a kind of crisis happening, really, in one of our nearest neighbours. We created this situation, didn't we, this offshore detention centre?
Yeah, we certainly did. And the Labor government, the Rudd government, created it. They set it up. And then the Abbott-Turnbull governments have been unable to resolve it. Why did the PM reject the New Zealand offer for now? Well, my instinct was that the USA has promised to take 1,250 people. They've only taken 54 so far. We know Donald Trump doesn't like the deal. Does the PM want to keep the US's sort of pedal to the metal on this, not give them any outs by saying, oh, New Zealand are helping, we'll wind back our numbers a bit? It is inexplicable, I think, for a lot of Australians to say, well, why wouldn't we take the offer from New Zealand? It is really hard to explain and to wash. So I think ultimately people will end up in New Zealand, but I'm just not clear on the time frame. And certainly for those who think that why doesn't Papua New Guinea just do the deal straight with New Zealand, because they're the one bearing the brunt of all these people at the moment, there is no sign from New Zealand or Papua New Guinea that they will defy Australia on this. I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Fran, because one of the big questions, and I bet podcast listeners are thinking this right now, that I've had is, why don't PNG and New Zealand just do this? They're not even in Australia.
Well, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Papua New Guinea, when ruled against the appeal It did say Australia now has no legal responsibility for these men. They are PNG's legal responsibility, but they remain Australia's moral responsibility. So flowing from that, you'd think, OK, PNG can do the deal with New Zealand. But Jacinda Ardern made that quite clear on Sunday. New Zealand will not override Australia on this.
Yeah, we're strong allies, and New Zealand would know that they would be making an enemy of the Australian government if they were to do that.
Probes, can I hear you?
Hey, is that our guest arriving?
I think it is. Andrew, hello. Grab a seat, grab a drink. Welcome to the party room.
Oh, thank you. And I must say, ladies, I think that the decor here in this room is absolutely divine.
We're stylish women. So you're the politics editor for ABC News. Had a quiet couple of weeks, have you?
You get the sense that this government is, just can't win a trick. You know, the Prime Minister is going overseas, and yet there would be also that feeling that he perhaps should stay at home and sort this mess out.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because he kind of needs to look like he's still governing, but equally needs to sort out the mess. Like, it's actually a bit of a conundrum.
It's a tremendous conundrum because, obviously, the idea was to get all of these problems sorted by Christmas. The two big problems before the citizenship debacle was energy and same-sex marriage. And it looks like he's done he's going to have some success on both those fronts.
But let's just remember the story that you broke last week around the Senate President Stephen Parry. Remember back then? He had to go. Mm. Where to now? Because we've almost all forgotten about Stephen Parry, because we were all wondering about John Alexander, Justine Kay, Josh Frydenberg, Jackie Lambie, and a long list of others. So where does it all go now and how quickly? Because PK and I have been saying how the PM has really got pushed into a corner by Labor, and suddenly Malcolm Turnbull's now talking days, not weeks, for the Parliament to consider. So it already looks like he's shifting from that 21-day deadline. Will he get his plan but with an accelerated date? And, you know, was this a smart move for him anyway? Because we're now hearing, thanks to a leak from Cabinet, which is never a good sign, that the Treasurer, Scott Morrison, apparently didn't think putting out a plan like this was a good move. It could bring them all down, which it could.
Look, I think that the Prime Minister was in a situation that was utterly awful and painful. I think he knew that he had to find some way out of it. He knew that the way out of it was going to cause pain. So the decision to have this, let's call it an audit, because that's really what it is. He just doesn't want to use the term.
There is no auditor. The obligation is on each member and each senator.
This form of audit is a crazy brave move, but the alternative was to let this slow drip of citizenship saga just continue. They were going to bleed to death, so he just wants it. Let's see what's coming. Open the door. Let the hordes run in. That's the approach that they've taken. But we now know that ignorance of your citizenship status is no defence, and that is the problem. There'll be a whole host of people saying, well, hang on, that's a bit unfair, but that's, you know, fairness is not the law's concern.
No, that's right.
I can't get bogged down in sort of constitutional arguments at the moment, but that the High Court ruling, yes, ignorance of the law is no defence, is one thing, but up until that High Court ruling, we had what's called the Sykes-Cleary ruling, which said that if people had taken reasonable efforts and there's a reasonable steps test. Now, Malcolm Turnbull seems to be questioning that and seems to imply that this latest court ruling overrides that. So we've still got all this constitutional argument to have, and I wonder whether the Parliament's just going to get bogged down in that or sort of go for broke on that, or will make a sort of an arrangement within itself to just accept there is a reasonable steps argument and just kind of turn a blind eye to some of those.
Well, I think it's going to become a war of attrition that, yes, there's misery in my party room, but the misery is elsewhere too. And so you might have a situation where the government loses 3-4 and maybe Labor loses 2-3 to a by-election. We have this Super Saturday by-election either in February or March, by which stage, you know, the government will have further bled. And
don't we end up with just a general election then? I mean, is it really realistic that we can have a series of by-elections like that? It seems rather desperate, doesn't it?
There are cabinet ministers who believe that it might end up in that fashion. Because
the only thing that could trigger that, though, is if they lose the confidence of the House, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, just a certain number of by-elections doesn't necessarily bring you to that.
But it might be that there are simply so many that it becomes unmanageable and that the whole parliament looks like a joke.
Yeah.
And this is so it just becomes one of those it's a sort of cancer on the entire place. I mean, this is not just Malcolm Turnbull's problem. This is Parliament's problem. It is perhaps something that does need a reset with these new rules. Not that they are new rules, but just a very tough just, interpretation. This is the
it's
irony.
The new
you know.
Old rules.
And this is one thing that the listeners should consider, that we've probably had of those hundreds of MPs and senators over the years, we might have had a quarter of them who are actually not really meant to be there.
Oh, I think more yeah. in the olden probably, yeah, days.
Lots of yeah. them, lots.
And there's the famous story of King O'Malley. It's something that Laurie Oakes wrote about a few months back before he retired. But King O'Malley, one of the designers of Canberra and original parliamentarian, he lied about where he was born. He said that he was born in Canada. In fact, he was born in America. So, one of our early parliamentarians shouldn't have been here, was not entitled, but he lied about it and got away with it.
So there's a few other things happening. Stephen Parry's departure, controversial departure, means that we need a new Senate president. There's a few people who have put their hand up. The most interesting, of course, is the Special Minister of State, Scott Ryan, who looks to me like likely to be the front runner, but until that vote happens on Monday, we won't know, but I reckon probably the front runner. Looks like that, though, means, I mean, that's quite significant because he's in the outer ministry, and then you need a reshuffle
but
too.
But potty. You know, what on earth is going on that someone decides, well, I'm going to go for the Senate presidency when they're already in the ministry? I mean, I'm quite amazed by that decision because I think he's a very good chance of actually taking the Senate presidency. Yeah. It's quite clear that Labor will support whoever the Liberals put up as long as it's not Ian McDonald. Now, think about that. You've got
so well, he's not in cabinet, so he may have made a calculation that he doesn't look like he's likely to get into cabinet, and this is another interesting job if you're not going to make it into cabinet.
That's right, and we know that Scott Ryan he loves the ins and outs of parliamentary
procedure.
Process and procedure. He's a nerd for it. But some of his colleagues are just gobsmacked that he should go from the ministry and then seek to go to the presidency.
Yeah, but they're also happy because leaves a bit of room for a bit of a reshuffle, new people, new jobs, new opportunities. The PM gets a bit of leverage to do some interesting things.
And I think that's why Dean Smith is also running for the president's job. I don't think he particularly wants the president's job, but I think this is a look at me moment, him saying, hang on, I've taken a lot of pain. He's done more than any Liberal in Parliament to push this same-sex marriage matter to an actual conclusion. He's copped a lot for it, and this is his reminder to his colleagues, well, hang on, you've got me to thank for it.
Yeah, well, just on that, I mean, he's going to have a look at me moment coming up because next week we do finally know the results of the same-sex marriage postal survey.
We're
the
nearly
voluntary
there!
Survey. November the 15th, it'll all be clear. We do know nearly 80% of the population has voted. We don't know if it's yes or no. If it is yes, Andrew, the Prime Minister was clear, if it's yes, this bill will be through by Christmas. Now all sorts of impediments are getting thrown in the way. Corey Bernardi says there's too much going on with the citizenship debate. You can't possibly get into this one. And we've got a whole group of Liberals now who say, hang on, we've got another bill. We're not going to vote for the Dean Smith bill. We're going to put our own bill in. It's got all these amendments about religious protections. We haven't even seen this bill. And they're saying, oh, this will take weeks and weeks and weeks to debate. We're just seeing more delaying tactics here. And is the PM going to let them get away with that?
Well, he shouldn't. I mean, the thought that you could do exactly what the Conservatives have asked for, and that is put this to a vote of the people, the turnout's been utterly spectacular. If we get over 80%, I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, I doubt
it would
get more than 60. People have spoken. If it is in the affirmative, then it is a preposterous thought.
And let's look at
not move quickly to legalise same-sex marriage.
And some of these high-profile Conservatives who want this alternative bill, I mean, they're looking at this thing, for instance, called the no detriment provision, which is quite extraordinary. This really hands a lot of power over to the courts, this no detriment provision. Some people think it's, well, their way of keeping this alive for a long time. You know, you can challenge all sorts of things in the courts if you have a no detriment provision. They want to push for this. They're pushing very hard for this. This is not going to be easy for Malcolm Turnbull.
No,
but I've got to say, politically, how weird will it look if there is a yes vote? And, you know, we won't know. Next podcast, you will. If it is a yes vote, to then say to the public, oh, we've got some citizenship issues. Oh, The Conservatives who are on the no side, who lost this public vote, they want to keep debating this. I don't reckon they're going to be into that.
$122 million and then more delay and more argy-bargy, and we haven't even really seen what they're argy-barging about yet. As Warren Inch says, it's all too late.
If this were delayed, it would just only advertise the weakness of Malcolm Turnbull's authority, so he can't afford to do it. I mean, it would just be, it would be the final nail. I think he'll just have to push through, and I think on his side of the ledger, I mean, politically speaking, he has people like Peter Dutton and Matthias Cormann, who are pragmatic Conservatives who also want this sorted. Now, Peter Dutton is of that Conservative faction, the chocolate cake faction, who have devised this rival piece of legislation. It's a bunch of people who regularly gather on a Tuesday in the Monkey Pod Room, which is a room, an annex near the Min Wing in Parliament House and during sitting weeks. But Peter Dutton is, while he occasionally goes to that function, he's also very keen to have this sorted.
If Malcolm Turnbull is smart enough and does have enough authority left, and that's questionable, I suppose, this is exactly what he needs to get done by Christmas, because this is a win that would be, if it is a yes vote, you'd presume it would be popular with the country. It would be quite a legacy for him to take with his prime ministership, and it might help him overcome some of the damage done by this whole citizenship saga.
Undoubtedly. I think it is a legacy issue. I think also if he gets this energy policy up, even though he won't see any great benefit for some time in our electricity bills, but if he gets that one through the party room and he does establish this mechanism, then that would be a very good thing. And that would be a proud achievement. And this has been a terribly difficult bit of public policy for the coalition.
And probes all at a time. In conclusion, when everyone wants to wind down, it's like almost Christmas party season time. You know, it's the old, let's ride off this year and we'll get back into it next year. But no. Not the parliament, not the government. They just want to keep the noise up, really.
Do you reckon the PM will have Christmas drinks this year?
I think he will have Christmas drinks, and I think he might be relieved when he starts sipping on that champagne. And this is one of the ironies of this, all this talk about leadership and whether indeed he will be toppled next year, is the fact is that the kitchen's been so trashed. Like, who wants to come and mop it up? You've got the citizenship issue, because it will drag into next year. It's not like this can be fixed by a new leader. So that it's a further complication to all those people saying, oh, there'll be change. I don't think you cannot be sure that there would be change.
Oh,
first of
Andrew,
all,
there's always someone prepared to come in and mop it up, because there's always someone who thinks I can do this.
I've got the answers. Well,
nothing like ambition in politics. Probes, you are a champion. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Andrew.
Okay, Fran, time for trading preferences. What are you trading with me today?
Well, who would have ever thought they'd see the day when Andrew Bolt on the Bolt Report would send out a tweet saying, the leader of the one party that has acted with integrity in the citizenship scandal, yes, the Greens. That in itself is stunning. But then what's pretty funny is the response from his followers and his viewers saying, Jesus Christ, Andrew, don't give these idiots a platform. And on they went. And all the others saying, well, I'm not going to be watching then. I'm going to the pub. Di Natale, I'd rather give myself an enema. So it was quite a strong response to the idea, which after all, which was just really a pretty balanced panel. It was Richard Di Natale, Rowan Dean, Gay Alcorn and Rita Panahi. So there you go.
Well, I've got something pretty interesting. You've probably heard by now, because it's been big in the news, is that Labor Senator Sam Dastyari was really ambushed by members of a far-right group at a university pub in Melbourne. A video was posted to the Patriot Blues Facebook page and it showed him basically being heckled by this group of men. They were menacing. It went on. I actually found it really alarming, the video. It made me just feel scared. So they're like consistently saying, what race is Islam? What race is Islam? Right next to him, Labor MP Tim Watts is there. And Tim Watts interjects asking, and I quote, I'm quoting, if I'm saying a rude word, it's a quote, what race is a dickhead? Look, it's a serious story, but I'm glad that people are trying to have a bit of fun with it. And what I mean by that is I just think this is just hideous, but it shows there's a sense of unity, really a diverse group of people, not sort of the same people, but voices across the media and, you know, and politics just saying this is not on and this is not what we want in our country. And it's not what we want in our country.
It sure isn't. And on that note, that's it from us. Don't forget, send us a tweet using hashtag ThePartyRoom.
You can also email us at any time. Send us your thoughts, thepartyroom@abc.net.au.
And do us a favour, tell all your friends about us. Don't forget to rate and review us. really helps if you go into iTunes and do that. It helps people find us, and we really like reading them too.
Yeah, we do, and please, please do that. In fact, rate and review right now. Stop everything. Just go and rate and review. Seriously, I'm being very serious about this. As always, you can hear more political analysis, interviews, all the good stuff from both of us, RN Breakfast, 6 a.m, RN Drive, 6 p.m, always available, of course, on the ABC Listen app, anytime, any place. We're there. 3 a.m, you've got insomnia like I've been having lately, you just get on, you subscribe to RN Breakfast or Drive, you listen to an interview. Why wouldn't you? All right, before we go, Fran, what are you singing for us?
Well, you know, this list that keeps growing of people who may or may not be dual citizens, may or not be in breach of Section 44. Malcolm Turnbull came out, as we've been discussing. He gave him a plan. He said, look, go away, find it out, and then come back and tell us. There was only really one applicant for the song this week. This is Should I Stay or Should I Go Now by The Clash, only it's, I don't even think The Clash would recognise this.
See you, friend.
See you, PK.
PM, you gotta let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that I am fine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you gotta let me know. Should I stay or should I go? I say please, please, please. You've almost brought me to my knees. I'm gonna give you 3 more weeks. It's simply clarity I seek. So come on and let me know, or I'll have to let you go. Should you stay or should you go now? Should you stay or should you go now? If you go, there will be trouble. We can't keep living in this bubble. So come on and let me know, or I'll have to let you go. This indecision's bugging me. If you don't want me, set me free. Who am I supposed to be? Greek, Italian or Aussie? So come on and let me know. Should I cool it, should I blow? Should you stay or should you go now?
Every member of the House and every member of the Senate has a personal obligation to ensure that they are in compliance with the Constitution.
What I'm doing is going to comply with what the Prime Minister has afforded.
And it makes a mockery of the Prime Minister's notion of voluntary disclosure.
You're born here, you represent your country, you think you're 100% Australian.
He doesn't believe he is, and that's good enough for me.
Then they should say so and take the appropriate action.
I just don't think that should be a reason that you be disqualified from standing for Parliament.
Mr Turnbull should not allow the House of Representatives to turn into a protection racket.
So come on and let me know, or I'll have to let you...